I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is November 15th, 2009. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's subject, part two of the debate between Ray Comfort and Eugenie Scott. Today, Ray Comfort replies to Eugenie Scott. Ray begins. A major concern of Jeannie Scott was that the copy of On the Origin of Species sent to her by my publisher was missing four crucial chapters, as well as Darwin's introduction. She will be pleased to know that the second printing of 170,000 copies, the one that will be given to students, is the entire book. Not one word will be omitted. Ray, the fact that you had to reprint 170,000 copies is proof that the people who are funding you know what a disaster it would have been to hand out Baudelaireized copies of Darwin's book. I'm amazed they put up the money to redo the whole project rather than just canceling it once they realized how dishonest you proved yourself to be. Ray goes on, Scott quoted a famous geneticist who said, "Nothing in biology makes sense except in the light of evolution." I would like to drop one word so that the quote is true. Ray, dropping words to change the meaning of what people say is what got you into trouble during the first printing of Darwin's book. It is obvious that learning from your mistakes is an idea that you have yet to encounter. He goes on, it should read, nothing in biology makes sense in the light of evolution. For example, evolution has no explanation as to why and how around 1.4 million species of animals evolved as male and female. Ray, how would you know what evolution says about male and female development? I don't remember any of that being in the Bible. Ray continues, no one even goes near explaining how and why each species managed to reproduce during the millions of years the female was supposedly evolving to maturity without the right reproductive machinery. Ray, evolution does not say females were evolving for millions of years without the right machinery. The only way reproduction would be possible is if females were evolving for millions of years with the right machinery. He continues, nor does any evolutionary believer adequately address the fact that all those 1.4 million species managed to evolve into maturity together in our lifetime. Ray, what makes you think they have evolved into maturity? Evolution is an ongoing process. In the future, beings will look back at us and the last thing they would say is that we had evolved to maturity. Ray says, nothing we have in creation is half evolved. Ray, are you talking about the unicorns in the book of Psalms or the talking snake in Genesis? Are you referring to the fire-breathing dragon in the book of Job or the talking donkey in the book of Numbers? The reason I ask is because we can't seem to find any of these fully evolved creatures in our world today. Ray goes on, the cow has a working udder to make drinkable milk. The bee has working apparatus to make edible honey. We don't find a half-evolved cow or bee. Ray, actually, the only thing we find are creatures that are half-evolved, because every creature on Earth continues to adapt to its environment by natural selection. He says, none of the 1.4 million species on the Earth has half an eye. Ray, actually, many do, but they are unlikely to survive long enough to reproduce. Ray says, all have the necessary functioning equipment, from the brain, to the teeth, to the eye, to limbs, to reproductive necessities. Ray, you are living proof that that last statement is false. Ray says, everything that we see in creation is in full working order. from the sun to the mixture of the air to the seasons to fruit trees and vegetables to the animal kingdom, from the tiny ant right up to the massive elephant. Ray, the sun is dying. The mixture of air has changed throughout the Earth's history, and the seasons will last only as long as the Earth maintains its grip on the moon. As for all the animals and plants that you mentioned, billions of them are not in full working order. A good example would be humans. He goes on, but not only do we see this mature completion in creation, we see it displayed in the fossil record. Ray, a blind man, has better vision than you do. The last thing we see in the fossil record is maturity. What scientists see is the change over time of all species on Earth. He says, it reveals that each animal was complete. Ray, of course each animal was complete. Then it changed. Ray says, historical and present creation stands as a stark testimony to the folly of Darwinian evolution. Ray, historical creation meaning the Bible? You have yet to prove that claim. We've been waiting now for 2,000 years. Don't mean to rush you, but could you give us a ballpark figure when you think you might have some evidence? I mean evidence other than pizza toppings. Ray goes on, Darwin was certainly onto something when he said, often a cold shudder has run through me, and I have asked myself whether I may have not devoted myself to a fantasy. Ray, don't worry. That feeling never comes over the happily deluded. He continues, my second point is that Scott is happy for students to read the first 8 and the last 10 pages of the introduction, but she doesn't want them to waste their time on the meat in the sandwich. Ray, you must be referring to the baloney. He goes on, she says that this portion is my weakest, most tasteless of arguments. Ray, I agree with you. She is way off on this one. There is no way humanly possible for anyone to determine which of your arguments are the weakest and most tasteless. That would be like trying to remove the shit from a stool specimen. He goes on, if that is true, shouldn't she then encourage students to read that portion to prove the weakness of my case? Instead, she says not to read it. I wonder why. Ray, I don't know. Once again, I agree with you. I think everyone should read what you have written. The ones with the weakest minds will become staunch believers, and the rest will begin to understand that creationism is simply another word for deception. Ray goes on. Scott continues, there are more specimens of Ardi, the newly described Ardipithecus ramidus, than there are of Tyrannosaurus. We and modern chimpanzees shared a common ancestor millions of years ago. Then Ray says, but that's another evolutionary oops. If you believe the learned scientists on the Discovery Channel, in a recent 2-hour documentary about Ardi, the scientists said, ever since Darwin, we have bought into the idea that humans evolved from ancient chimp-like creatures. That's because modern chimps seem to share a lot of anatomy and modern behavior with humans. Ray, in your case, that would be share all their modern behavior with humans. He goes on, so the idea that we evolved from something like chimps seemed to make sense. But now the discovery of Ardipithecus shows that this idea is totally and completely wrong. Okay, Ray, why? He says, did you hear what they said? This idea that we evolved from ancient chimp-like creatures is totally and completely wrong. Ray, who said that? The only people I know who say that are creationists who believe that we came from magic mud. He goes on, I am aware that it is the learning process of evolutionary science to continually discover itself to be wrong. Ray, you are aware of a lot of things. Unfortunately, reality is not one of them. Ray says, so there can never be a time when believers can claim they have the truth. This is just as well, because each new and believed hypothesis like the crazy fashions of a superficial teenager, is in time discarded in favor of the new. Ray, hypotheses are not believed, they are tested. If they pass, then they are believed. I would recommend a Science 101 class to you, but we both know you would never pass it. Ray continues, after addressing my arguments from the portion of the introduction she doesn't want students to read, Scott says, more fossils will provide more details, but this outline of human evolution is not in serious doubt among scientists. Ray says, hear her own words, more fossils will provide more details. In other words, they still don't have the undisputed fossils. Ray, maybe we better enroll you in an English 101 class as well. When you rephrased her quote into other words, they did not match what she said. Ray says, that's what Darwin lamented 150 years ago. Ray, of course he did. They were only in the earliest stages of fossil collection. He would be thrilled to see what scientists have dug up in the last 150 years. And he would be even more tickled to see that every single bone of millions has supported his theory without a single piece of evidence to the contrary. Ray continues, Darwin said that when a skeptic may ask in vain, where are the numberless transitional links? Darwin's answer was that the missing links may lie buried under the ocean. Ray, that is true. However, many of the areas of the earth that were once underwater now lie exposed on the land. Just think of how many more fossils we will be able to retrieve once our technology allows us to search deep under the ocean. Ray goes on, they are still buried somewhere 150 years later. Scott said that human evolution isn't in serious doubt among scientists, but I say it should be. Ray, can you give us any reason why it should be in doubt, other than your intense desire that evolution be false? Ray goes on, Scott also says there are splendid fossils of dinosaurs that have feathers and of whales that have legs and even feet, but she doesn't give me any details of such splendor. Where are they? Ray, they are in museums and textbooks all over the world, but why would you want to see them? Your beliefs aren't based on evidence. They are based on ancient holy scriptures. They are based solely on faith, which is lack of evidence. So why even pretend that scientific evidence means anything to you? Ray goes on. Instead, she quotes the Bible. Ray, that's got to really piss you off when atheists throw your own Bible at you. Scott quoted, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Ray, that is the most perfect description of creationism I have ever seen, and to think it came from your own holy book. Ray continues, however, Jeremiah is speaking of Israel's rejection of the message of the gospel, not Darwinian evolution, something Scott dismisses as rather heavy-handed evangelism. She then encourages doubters to consider museums where you will find transitional fossils galore. I went to the Smithsonian to see the fossils galore, and they were there. Millions of fossils that were evidence of special creation. Ray, isn't that exactly what I just said? You can't see what you refuse to admit. As long as you fear that the threats of the Bible may be true, you will remain enslaved, spending the only precious moments of existence that you have living in fear of a brutal, monstrous ghost whose moral code includes eternal torture. Ray continues, the Smithsonian didn't have any transitional fossils that proved evolution. Staunch believers claim that they have them, but not on display. Ray, no, they didn't say that. You are making that up. They are there for all to see, provided your eyes haven't been sealed shut with Bible glue. Ray says, I also visited the Evolution Museum in Paris. I took a camera crew and we spent an hour looking for the evolution exhibit. It didn't have one, All it had were millions of fossils of fully formed animals that God created. Ray, have you ever figured out why God meticulously buried those fossils in increasing order of complexity? Ray continues, there are so many gaps and holes in the theory of evolution that you could drive a fleet of 1,000 fully laden 18-wheelers through them. The irony is that I can see them, and I'm not even an expert on the subject of evolution. Ray, never has any statement been more true. Ray says, so what does that say about the theory's experts, whoever they are? Well, Ray, for one thing, it says we have a lot more reason to believe them than we have to believe you. Ray says, it says, as a wise man once said, that man will believe anything as long as it's not in the Bible. Ray, what planet did that wise man live on? Certainly not on Earth, where 75% of Americans do believe what's in the Bible. And now we move to the science segment. Today, eight-horned T-Rex cousin found. The dinosaur was a ballerina. A sleek cousin of Tyrannosaurus rex has been unearthed in Asia's Gobi Desert. The discovery reveals that the fearsome tyrant lizards, or tyrannosaurs, were much more diverse than thought. Instead of its big bad boy relatives, this one is more like a ballerina. A well-preserved skull and a near-complete skeleton from the new species of eight-horned, long-snouted carnivore were unearthed in 2001 in Mongolia. The predator lived in the hot, lush floodplains of the late Cretaceous, near the end of the age of dinosaurs, roughly 65 million years ago. The creature had two short horns above each eye and two jutting downwards from its cheeks. All four are also seen in T-Rex. Strangely, the beast also had up to 2-inch long horns sticking out of each cheek, which have never been seen in any carnivorous dinosaur before. Too short for combat, these horns likely served as sexual ornaments to attract females. Smaller than T-Rex, the newfound species also possessed an unusually airy skeleton, lacked a skull built for the strong jaws seen in its larger cousins, and had thinner, steak knife-like teeth. The new findings also suggest Tyrannosaurus had more diverse lifestyles than previously thought. While its larger cousins might have taken down big targets, the newfound dinosaur probably relied more on speed, agility, and finesse to go after smaller prey. The very different body types we see now in Tyrannosaurus probably allowed the ecosystem to support two closely related species, just as you have lions and cheetahs close together. Yeah, but the lions and cheetahs don't get along so well. And now the arena goes abroad. Today we travel to Japan, where the government of Japan tells people to have babies and we'll pay you. With Japan's aging, pension-collecting population eating away at the country's coffers, its leaders have decided they need more kids who can, in turn, support the elderly, and they're willing to pay for them. They're proposing a program that would pay new parents $3,300 a year for every new child until age 15, along with offering less direct incentives like state-supported daycare and tuition waivers. The government hopes that investment will repay itself as the new crop of kids begins to support the aged, looking to countries like France, whose relatively hefty family benefit spending helped boost its birth rate rise to 2 children per woman. Japan's rate is 1.37, but researchers doubt the gambit will work unless Japanese culture changes in a hurry. Japan's mothers are still expected to carry the burdens of motherhood, yet corporate cultures make few allowances for working mothers, leaving many women unwilling to have children. All the money in the world may not make a long-term difference, says one Oxford demographer. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Mohandas Gandhi, born 1869, died in 1948 at the age of 78. He was commonly known as Mahatma Gandhi. He was an advocate and pioneer of nonviolent social protest. He led the struggle for India's independence from British colonial rule. And now for the quote from Mahatma Gandhi. It is unwise to be too sure of one's own wisdom. It is healthy to be reminded that the strongest might weaken and the wisest might err.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking.